Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smashville.
Cuts across, he scores!
This is the Preds Official Podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton.
Powerful move from back of the net.
On Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Episode 103, Predators Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brooks Bratton, Thomas Willis, both of us of Preds.com. It might as well be called the Predators Official Luke Cast after the day that we had earlier in the week. My goodness. One Luke via trade, three more Lukes via the draft. As if we thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about, this may be the busiest show of the offseason, Thomas.
Wow.
Busiest. Wow. We didn't even ask for questions. Wow. I was like, there's no way we're going to be able to get to questions.
You included less audio because you think we have so much to
Sure.
say. I don't disagree.
Lots to talk about. Lots of things happening. We've already completed our phone interview with our guest. We got one of the Lukes, Luke Cunnan, acquired from the Minnesota Wild by the Predators on Wednesday. He will join us in our next segment. You'll get to know him a little bit better. And there are seven new players also in the system taken by the Preds in the 2020 NHL draft. Lots to touch on them as well. And then, of course, more moves. We mentioned the trade for Luke Cunnan. Nick Bonino goes the other way back to the Wild. The Predators also buy out forward Kyle Turris, and General Manager David Poile will discuss that transaction in a moment. And then goaltender Yaroslav Askarov, he's the one who gets picked by the Predators in round one of the draft. Some people excited, some people wondering what the heck's going on. We're going to sort it all out, and we'll let you know. And then, oh, by the way, free agency begins at 11 a.m. on Friday, October 9th. So buckle up, even more to come.
Yes, consider this to be our free agency preview, and we'll talk about where the roster is right now and where we expect it to be in 48 hours, 72 hours, one change for a variety of reasons, but free agents in the last 3 or 4 years were coming to potential cities and teams in person to preview them, to have like a pre-scout before free agency opened. That's not the case, so we may not get as many like 11:02 a.m. mm-hmm. signings. I mean, it may be like a guy waits a whole weekend and he has to go on Zoom or whatever it is before he makes his decision. So I can't guarantee you the Predators will make a number of roster moves on Friday, but, you know, they very well may. I mean, there's still some holes that need to be filled. And the biggest news is they went from about $8.5 million in available cap space to $17.7 million. So more than doubled their available space. And so you went from saying, you know, there's just no way they can even land a bigger guy because they don't have the room or the space. Now they have the roster availability and they have the money as well under the cap, which remains at 81.5, as we've talked about numerous times. So, let's just go right into it. So Cunnan is the acquisition from Minnesota. We speak with him next, as you mentioned. He's 22 years old. He set career highs in just about everything last year, 63 games, 15 goals, 16 assists, 31 points. Then actually added two more in their matchup against the Vancouver Canucks in the postseason, the weird qualifying round that we just had. So that's always a good sign as well. He can play center. He can play wing. If I'm picking right now, and we think the roster changes, would be great on the as a third line center. You would suspect, and then maybe he can move up or down in the lineup on the wing. So the Predators really wanted this guy. I mean, if you can, you know, decide whether you like him or not, but I mean, they also put in their second and their third round pick into this deal. Now they do get a fourth round pick back, but I mean, they paid more and gave up the more established higher player. So I think Nick Bonino was probably one of their most attractive assets to mm-hmm. other teams. And because Bonino, of course, a cup winner, that always looks good. Such a good locker room guy. And you mentioned this earlier off air that Bill Guerin, the new GM of the Minnesota Wild, knows him from Pittsburgh as well. So he probably wanted him a lot. But the Predators go from a 31, 32-year-old player to a 22-year-old player. So they got younger. They got a guy that they think that they can have under contract for several more years. Bonino only had one more year left on his deal. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into this more in a bit. But Poile in no way, you know, regretted that signing or, you know, said, you know, we wanted to get rid of him or anything like that. Like, they had to do it to try and make a slight upgrade. So, Bonino was an excellent signing right after that Stanley Cup final run coming over from the Penguins. So, you know, he moves on. And then your hope is Cunnan is actually an RFA, so a restricted free agent. I would suspect you resign him to a three-ish year deal around in there, I would think, probably two or so million. So of that 17.7, maybe subtract two and a half. But you almost certainly weren't going to be able to resign Bonino, and you know, and you get younger as well. So it's a forward-thinking move, but it's also a move that you're betting on, you know, saying, I think we're going to have this guy over the next few years, and I think he can become a bigger part of our lineup.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick. Cunnan was in 2016 by Minnesota and really kind of came into his own last season, as you said, with the career highs, Thomas, and restricted free agent. Of course, the Predators will get him signed at some point, and that's a player that, again, 22 years old, David Poile has talked about wanting to be younger in the roster. That is a good, solid piece to add, a guy who is really quite versatile, can play center, can play the wing, is really good on the penalty kill, has gotten power play time as well, can really fit just about anywhere you want him to throughout the lineup. So never hurts to have a bit of a Swiss Army knife there, if you will, and a guy like that who can play in a bunch of different spots no matter the circumstance of the game.
Well, and he said on Wednesday when he first was meeting the Predators media and team that he considers himself, you know, to be that, and that he, A, likes to be in front of the net, a net front presence, but I saw a lot of people saying, like, yes, thank you. Like, that's something the Predators have lacked. But then as well, you know, is able to make the teammates around him better as well, which is what you want to hear from a center. So I think, you know, potential-wise, which that's a dangerous thing because the critics would say potential means you haven't done anything yet, actually. But I think the potential of this move is it's one that the Predators can be pleased with for the next 3, 5, 7 years, you know, if they want to be. So I think that's why they put in that extra second-round pick to get him.
Absolutely. So as you said, he's coming up next. You'll get to know him a little bit more. And wanted to certainly, as David Poile did as well, make sure to thank Nick Bonino for his time here in Nashville and how good he was to us, a guest on the show a couple of times, always gave a good, honest answer and certainly had a pretty wicked, dry sense of humor that we certainly enjoyed. Never forget Reggie Hofferman when he dressed up in disguise and went around and got autographs from his teammates. I certainly gave that a watch and tweeted that if you don't know what I'm talking about. Bonino dressed up a couple of Halloweens ago at Preds Fest, or a couple years ago just in general. I guess it would have been September, but the whole nine yards in disguise and waited in line and got autographs from all his teammates. I tweeted the link to it on Wednesday, so it's pretty hilarious. No matter how many times I watch it, I always get a pretty good laugh out of it. So that's just one of the things we'll certainly remember Bones for. Again, wanted to thank him for all the time and wish him and his wife Lauren and his two adorable daughters all the best in their next chapter.
Yeah.
By the way, I also did want to say, just for the sake of things changing, we are recording this on Thursday. Uh-huh. So in case you're listening to this on Sunday and you're like, this is totally out of date. Well, that's why.
Well, and then additionally, I mean, we make enough mistakes as already within a 47-minute window. So at least give us the benefit of the doubt of being like, well, they can't prognosticate the future very well either. So yeah, I mean, back on the financial aspect of it as well, Bonino making 4.1, Cunnan making 2.5. So that's, you know, one more reason that you make that move. But one of my favorite interviews, you know, loved him. We'll certainly miss him for sure. So funny on Twitter as well. I was talking to you last night. I mean, he did a lot for us in this weird pause, even just playing video games, NHL 20, streaming them for the Preds, like keeping fans excited and engaged, ironically, against the Minnesota Wild. So he was playing two of his future teammates, little did we know, at the time. But the other two big moves is...
I was going to say on Bones, one more. Something that I always remember is I was going around asking guys what their favorite superheroes were one day in the locker room. We had I think it was a Marvel show that was coming into
challenging
Bridgestone
for
Arena.
You to begin with.
Sure, because superheroes, I have no idea. Thomas has to help me. So I'm asking guys who their favorite superhero is, and I go up to Bonino and say, like, I don't know, I think I said something like, you know, like Spider-Man or Batman or who do you like? And he's like, who? What? I have no idea what you're talking about. That's just the way that he was, like, and total deadpan and totally serious.
Well, and what makes it so tough in that situation is you and I have probably both asked dumb enough questions over our lives that a player truthfully could be like, what? Huh? So then when he gets you for it and you're like, wait, I don't know if he's serious.
I know. I was like, is it possible that he just has no idea?
And then you start
idea?
To explain it and of course you feel dumber than anything. So we'll miss you, Bones. Hopefully we get to see you soon. We don't know what next season will look like or media access or any of those things. So the Wild got a good one. The Predators think they did as well. As I was saying earlier, Kyle Turris, placing waivers will be bought out by the time you've listened to this. And so what that means, and I'll go simplifying here, but contracts in the NHL are guaranteed. So you can't, like the NFL, for example, there's guaranteed money and it changes and you could just say like, we're going to cut this guy, we're going to get rid of him. Because they're guaranteed, Kyle Turris had multiple years, four more years left on his deal at $6 million in cap hit. So effectively, the Predators, were not able to trade him, could not, get rid of him in another way. They certainly have, pursued that recently. And so the buyout, in simple terms, and I know this is oversimplification, it doubles the length of the deal to reduce the cap hit. So, the Predators will be paying more than 4 years. They'll be paying for likely 8 years, and I think the number's around $2 million. So you reduce the number by... It's like kind of going from a 15-year mortgage on your house to a 30-year mortgage on your house. And maybe that's not what it's like, but, that's the whole point. And it's to now Kyle Turris is, no longer a member of the Predators, is free to sign somewhere else. For example, the inverse most recently, Scott Hartnell was bought out by the Blue Jackets a couple seasons ago. They were still paying him in his buyout. He then signs a lower term, just 1 year, $1 million with the Preds for that 17-18 season. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's been the Preds going the other way, getting guys that have been bought out. I truly don't know what's in Turris's future. He may not know right now. I would suspect someone's willing to take a 1 year, short term chance on him, and we'll see what he becomes long term. And we've even said it on this podcast. I remember Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, me on the show, has said that's just not the Kyle Turris, the version that the Predators got, like that he had been the rest of his career, that he was with the Ottawa Senators, especially in their run to the Eastern Conference Final in 2017. For whatever reason, it just did not work out. And you saw a little bit of light when John Hines became the head coach over these, last few months. But even then, not a $6 million player, not a second line center that you really thought you had that 1-2 punch behind Ryan Johansson. So he will move on. The bigger news is the Predators can now use that money to sign someone else. They also will be buying out Steven Santini, who was in the PK Subban deal. I think the buyout's a little bit of a surprise, but overall, I don't think they ever expected him to be much of an NHL player. It was more moving some of the money around when they got Subban. Jeremy Davies was the big piece in that deal. So he moves on as well. That frees up a little bit. He had 1 year left on his deal. He was signed for this season. So we'll see. We really don't know what's to come next. David Poile said earlier in the week that he could see Alexander Carrier filling in on that defensive side. The Predators have 5 D-men under contract right now, but that he might attack defense first with signing 1 guy, 2 guys even on the free agency market on Friday. And then, the rumors, we'll get in this later, are, they've got 17.7, so surely they're going to get Taylor Hall for the second line. Well, we'll dive into that in a bit. I would categorize that as less likely than likely, but, those were necessary moves for the Predators to build from the core that they think is good enough. They want to build off the Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson line. They want to build off Josi and Ellis. They think they have good goaltending in Rene and Saar. So they don't want to rebuild. They don't want to throw it all, into the trash heap and start over. But they did know that we have to really change where we've been in the last few years.
I did want to read what David Poile had to say on Kyle Turris and that whole situation, just not the way that anybody wanted it to turn out. And Poile said, quote, "I'm not sure that anybody knows the exact answer on that, and that's why it's so disappointing." He's speaking on why things didn't work out with Turris. He goes on to say, quote, "As I've often said, we were very excited when we traded for Kyle, and at times, especially at the beginning, he played really well for us, but it didn't last for whatever reason. We will take as much responsibility as we need to in that, and it's just over. It's just very, very unfortunate that it didn't work out better. It's caused me a lot of consternation for sure to have to make this decision because I think Kyle's a really good person and I know he's a really good player. I just really regret that it didn't work out better for us," end quote. So again, you don't trade for someone like that and sign him to a 6-year deal and think that it's not going to work out.
I know.
And it's just unfortunate. It happens. It's for whatever reason, and I don't know that anybody really has the answers, as Poile said, but it certainly happens, especially right now. I just think with the landscape of everything, there's a lot of guys getting bought out right now as well. And it's happened over the course of time. And especially now, if teams need that space, if there is a way that they can make space in any way, I think they're going to do it right now.
Well, let me interject to strengthen your point. So this is from James Myrtle at Myrtle on Twitter. He said, so Winberg and Snyder in Columbus and New Jersey were also just bought out. He says that's a league-wide number of 10. That's abnormal, one of the most that we've seen in years. And 7 of those 10 buyouts will last 4 years or more. So Turris's will last 8 years. So like you said, a lot of teams saying, with this smaller cap hit, we can't just continue to have a higher number and a guy, you know, spending a roster spot, spending a lot of money. We'd rather eat it now and have the long-term ill effect to try and make a move right now with the expectation that the cap hit could be 81, the cap rather could be 81.5 next year and the year after and the year after. You know, we just don't know. So, yeah, a super tough decision. There was a point, especially when Kyle Turris was first traded for in October of 2017, that second line of Craig Smith and Kevin Fiala, it looked like everything, you know, that you pictured that it could be. And it just wasn't. I mean, there was a time when the $6 million looked like a savings, right? I mean, now the Predators have their first two centers both make $8 million. So, so unfortunate, so tough. And, you know, again, much like Nick Bonino, still wish Kyle the best. He was a great guest on here, came on several times, a great, awesome family for sure. So hopefully he's able to, you know, find a fit and become the guy that he has been in the past, because it wasn't working in Nashville. It was not going to work in Nashville. We've seen multiple years of it being that way. So now the question is, who do the Predators replace him with?
Yeah, we'll miss Nick. We'll miss Kyle, as you said. All the best to Kyle and Julie and their three adorable kids. I think that's the tough part of this. It is a business, but you get to know these people on a more personal level, and it is tough when things don't work out. But again, all the best to them. Thanks to them for all that they've done for us over the years, and of course joining us on the show as well. It's been fun having them here in Smashville. Someone else who is coming into Smashville, Luke Cunnan. We are just getting started here on the Preds Official Podcast, and the newest forward for the Predators will join us next here on the POP on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad.
Predators Official Podcast, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Brooks Bratton, Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. And as we mentioned, the Predators added a few Lukes earlier in the week, and one of them came via trade, and he is kind enough to join us on the phone now. Luke Cunnan, one of the newest members of the Nashville Predators. Luke, welcome to the organization. Welcome to the Preds Official Podcast. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot. Happy to do it.
Absolutely. Of course, it was a busy day here in Nashville, a busy day for you as you learn of the trade. Nick Bonino heads to Minnesota, and you are coming back the other way. First off, Nashville Predators, what do you think about becoming a member of the Preds and getting to join this organization here?
I'm so excited. You know, you never think you're going to get traded or, you know, you never think about stuff like that. And, you know, just how lucky and fortunate I am to be going to such a great organization. Like I've said before, with great players, a great fan base, really everything. There's nothing not to like about the Nashville Predators. So it's I've always loved going there to play, you know, on the road, and I'm very much looking forward to, you know, being there full time and doing my part to help us.
As you just said, you never expect to get traded. You're a young guy. It is your first trade in the National Hockey League. I mean, are you? You said you're obviously excited. Is how much of a shock factor is there? And what has it been like? Kind of wrapping your head around it. Has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, I think anytime. Obviously, like you said, it's my first time. So I think there's just a lot of emotions. You know, there's excitement. There's you know, the unknowns of, you know, where you're going to be, you know, new situation, things like that. But for the most part, just, yeah, a lot of excitement for me. Can't wait to get down there, meet the guys, and get things going.
You mentioned earlier in the week that you can play center, you can play wing. You like to think you're a good net front presence, but you also help set up your teammates. Basically, a pretty versatile guy. How would you describe your style, and maybe a bit of a longer answer, and what you think you bring to the ice and what you could bring to the Predators?
Yeah, I think I play with a lot of energy. You know, I like to be physical for sure. I think when I'm playing physical, it helps my game kind of all come together. So a pretty physical player. I like to play with some speed and make plays and find, you know, soft spots on the ice to, you know, get some pucks and get my shot off. But, yeah, I think really just, you know, kind of all situations throughout the lineup, whatever, you know, that may be for, you know, our team, whatever we need, you know, moving forward for us, like I've said before, to have success and win hockey games and, you know, get to that ultimate goal, I'm more than willing to do.
Luke, you set career highs in virtually every category last season with Minnesota. How has your game improved over time, and what is top of mind for you now as you look to get even better and get acclimated here with the Preds?
Well, I think it takes some time to get going, get comfortable in the National Hockey League, obviously. You know, I found myself getting more, at least throughout the season this year, getting more opportunity, more offensive opportunity. You know, finding more time on the power play, things like that, playing maybe with some more offensive guys. And I think, you know, kind of just helped grow my game. And, yeah, I mean, I'm never going to be satisfied with anything. I still think I have, you know, levels, you know, to get to and to go. I think my game can grow more and more, and that's what I've been working on since, you know, we got back from the bubble there. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, starting the new season, whenever that may be.
You set career highs in virtually every category, got more ice time, some more special teams time as well. You mentioned the bubble. You had two playoff goals this year. So is there something you can put your finger on as to why you had that statistical jump up in the 19-20 season?
Maybe just more confidence, you know, kind of finding my role more within the team and, you know, maybe just being, yeah, I don't know. I think just, yeah, it takes time, like I said, to, you know, get things going, I guess. And more comfortable you feel, the more you kind of know your game and what works in the National Hockey League for you to have success. I think, you know, as the more games you play, you're going to figure that out more. And I definitely did that. And, you know, like I said, I think there's still ways to go.
Luke, you're a type 1 diabetic. You mentioned it during your introductory press conference with the Preds on Wednesday, and you said it's something that you're very passionate about when it comes to speaking to kids and parents on the subject. Tell us a little bit about that work and what is it like for you to play with that as a professional athlete and deal with that in your career?
Yeah, so like you said, I was actually an ambassador for JDRF here in Minnesota, and I just take a lot of pride in you know, being able to talk to kids, parents, really anyone, play sports, don't play sports, that have type 1 diabetes, just to help them, you know, kind of know my story, what I went through, how it's, you know, you shouldn't let it affect you. It's not going to limit you to get to where you want to get and do the things you want to do, whatever that may be in life. And that's just kind of the message I kind of want to help out with those kids. I was fortunate enough when I was actually growing up in St. Louis, you know, right when I was diagnosed, being a Blues fan, BJ Crombie, being actually type 1 diabetic, played on the Blues. And, you know, he reached out to me as a young kid wanting to make it to the NHL. And I think, you know, having that presence and someone who, you know, is where you want to get to, having the same thing you have, it really set my mind at ease. And so I want to do, you know, my part to help kids and people as well.
We're speaking to Nashville Predators forward Luke Cunnan here on the Preds official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming right now on the Game Nashville app. For more about the show, go to nashvillepreds.com/podcast. Luke, I'll put you on the spot before I ask you a more detailed question. So 19, the number 19 is taken in Nashville right now with Cali Yarncroke. Have you given any thought, if you are to change numbers, what you might go to?
I think, yeah, I mean, I've always been either 9 or 19. Those are both taken, mm-hmm. So we'll have to change it up. Maybe 11. I've always liked that number. So we'll see. We'll see when we get there what's going to work.
Okay, we'll pencil you in for 11. No need for a definitive answer now. I do want to go back to, I guess, in the last few hours, maybe it's still happening even as we speak. You mentioned you got a whole lot of texts and calls, and maybe even jealous calls and texts is the way to put it, saying, you know, a city that you get to go to frequently as a member with the Wild to visit Music City in Nashville, and people saying like, man, you're going to go ahead for a great spot. Like, I'm a little envious of you. What's that conversation been like over the last few days?
Yeah, I've gotten so many great texts from players around the league, guys I've played with, non-hockey players, you know, everyone, just how people who, you know, I've played with that played in Nashville, you know, Ryan Hartman guys, Tony Petitto, you name it, just guys that are saying how lucky, fortunate I am. Like, they loved it in Nashville, unbelievable spot, and obviously you hear nothing but great things. So very, very excited.
Luke, give us something on Tony. We're all big Tony Petitto fans here in Nashville. What was it like to play with him for a little bit there in Minnesota?
Oh, he's the best. Great teammate. Obviously, you guys know he's just an unbelievable guy. Makes it fun when you go, you know, to the rink today, seeing him and just cracking jokes and keeping everything light. But yeah, one of my favorite teammates I've had for sure.
That's fantastic. Well, you mentioned you're a country fan. We came back from break to some Luke Combs at per your request. So when things get back to normal and we're able to go to some live events, maybe who are some artists you'd love to see now that you live in Nashville, or maybe who's ranking high on your list in the last few days and weeks?
Yeah, no, I'm a huge country music fan, always have been. So that's another aspect along with, you know, being in Nashville and the hockey and everything. But I love country music. I love, well, you know, there's so many artists that I'm a big fan of, so it's going to be pretty neat to be there and you know, hopefully run in and meet some of them. But yeah, Luke Combs is one of my favorites. I mean, you name it, I got a lot of them.
Luke, we also did a scan of your Instagram page. Is there a dog named Rocco in your life?
Yes, there is. Right when the season got paused, probably a few weeks in, I got the French Bulldog.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Love the French Bulldogs. Well, you've got a teammate named Rocco, too, so that may be a little confusing for you. But no, I kid. I think all of us fine-tuned our hobbies and our pastimes over the last 6 months or so, and when you weren't, you know, preparing to return to Edmonton and into the bubble. So what is your favorite activity on a day off? What do you like to kill some time with?
For sure, golf. I golf, you know, probably five times a week. So I'm pretty big into golf. I like being up at the lake, you know, on the boat, fishing, just kind of hanging out, hanging with buddies and family. So nothing too crazy, but...
Well, Luke, maybe a little bit more of that to come here before we get back to hockey. But what do you have an idea as to what the next little bit looks like for you? Obviously, you're training and skating right now in the off season, if you will. But do you know what the next little bit might look like and any plans to maybe get down to Nashville soon?
Yeah, definitely. You know, still obviously a lot of unknowns. Got to figure some things out. But trying to get down to Nashville here in the next couple of weeks. I know some of the guys are down there, so... I'm hoping that's going to work out and I can be down there for a little bit and just kind of go from there.
Well, if you can get some video footage of Ryan Johansson, Ryan Ellis, they're probably the two best golfers on the team. So prepare yourself for that so you can come in, you know, scout their weaknesses and be ready to beat them out on the links a little bit. But as we let you go, let me say this. You had the unique experience of the bubble and Edmonton and all of that. And I mean, what would you say about where the game is right now, where our lives are right now, as we think we've been told January 1st, the new target date for the 2021 season. I'm just curious, you know, your thoughts overall as we, you know, prepare to hopefully get back on the ice soon.
Yeah. Like you said, there's so many unknowns right now with everything going on, but, we're just preparing, you know, I know for myself, just preparing as if, you know, we're going to play here soon and just doing the same things I'd be doing normal off season. Obviously, everything's, I guess, kind of day to day with how the world's going. But, yeah, just prepare and get ready like we're playing soon and hope all that falls into place and we're out there playing in front of fans, you know, hopefully as early as January.
Well, Luke, enjoy your time off with Rocco. Good luck with everything the rest of the way here in the off season, and we look forward to hopefully meeting you in person sooner than later. But thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks a lot, guys.
Up next, we'll take a look ahead to free agency for the Predators and recap the NHL draft as well. That's next here on the POP on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Segment 3, Predators official podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, a song that I didn't realize Thomas enjoyed as much as he apparently does. You were telling me that this is Willie Donick's intro song.
Willie Donick and that song have been paired together on the radio for, I can't say longer than I've been alive, but I'm looking at producer Max. I mean, decades is not an exaggeration, so... How appropriate to come back to it on 102.5 again.
Willie is such a huge music fan, and I'm sure he was bummed to hear the news, as we all certainly were, of Eddie Van Halen passing away. So rock and roll lost a legend, and we're lucky to be able to have his music here to enjoy on planet Earth. Welcome back, POP, ESPN 102.5 The Game. As we continue along, NHL free agency on October the 9th. Who would have thunk it? Usually it's July 1.
I know. Well, I struggle enough with the NHL calendar and being like, do people know this? Like, do we need to remind them? Like, surely they know. Well, yeah, you probably are accustomed to it being July the 1st, but now who knows when it's going to be? I mean, a Friday morning for us here in the Central Time Zone. I saw something from the NHL. I think it was the first time the draft has been in the middle of the week since like 1994 or something like that. I was like, yeah, I mean,
oh, the draft, yeah.
I mean, it's been Friday, Saturday for such a long while here. All right, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Here's why you've made it to this point in the podcast. Let's talk about it. The Predators have $17.7 million in available cap space. They probably need to sign 2 to 4 players, or at least, you know, acquire them or bring them up, whatever it is.
And again, as you said, Luke Cunningham will be one of them.
Luke Cunningham is one of them.
He'll need a deal.
So subtract probably 2 from that, so 15-ish, let's say. The big name, the biggest name in the unrestricted free agent market is Taylor Hall, player the Predators face with the Arizona Coyotes in the qualifying round. They traded for him earlier in the year. Now, here are the two reports, and again, I speculate that it's still more unlikely than it is likely. But by all means, I mean, here it is. So Darren Dreger, an insider, actually one of the few we have not had on the show yet. You know, maybe someday we'll see. He said earlier that he would consider the top 3 teams to sign Taylor Hall, and this is his speculation, the Montreal Canadiens, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Nashville Predators. And then Pierre LeBrun, friend of show of The Athletic and of TSN, said the plan is for Taylor Hall to hit the open market on Friday. We do know that for the record as well. He officially will be an unrestricted free agent on Friday. And he was saying that now that the Predators have cleared some space, his pitch, or at least what makes the most likely scenario, is John Hines was Taylor Hall's head coach in New Jersey when Hall won the MVP award, won the Hart Trophy as, you know, the league's best player that season. So there's that connection. And then as well, you would probably slot him in on the second line where he'd get to play with Matt Duchene. No question, the most talented center he's played with across his career. So the issue is, and I think we just delved into this in our first segment, but the easy number is, well, he needs a 7-year deal. I mean, right, like the Canadiens, maybe the Blue Jackets, even assuming that, you know, they are the part of this top 3, they'll want to do a 7-year deal. They can probably do a 7-year deal. I don't see that from Nashville. I really don't, especially after the lessons learned, you know, with Kyle Turris. Of course, you don't expect that, but I also don't think you want to get into a habit of, you just gave Matt Duchene a huge contract. You've given, you know, your big top 3, Ryan Johansson, you did that pretty recently. Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, just starting their long-term deals. As an aside, before you know it, Philip Forsberg is actually going to be an unrestricted free agent, but we'll get to that in a bit. Episode 160 of the show, or, you know, whatever.
In a bit, meaning like 2 years from now.
Yeah, you know, not too bad.
Sure.
But, you know, not like 5 years like everybody else has. So, so I don't know that you want to form that habit. So I think if you're Nashville, 4 years, 5 years, I mean, less than that might even be better. I think you're trying to sell him on that. And it's up to Taylor Hall. I mean, so many of these guys go through their whole career knowing they only get one chance at a long-term deal and a big payout to, you know, change the financial security of their family and their grandkids and all of that for themselves, that, you know, it's so hard to convince them for sure, you know, you've got to do it again, or you've got to do it 2 years, the best 2 years of your career, you know, to potentially be in this spot again. So we'll see. I would speculate, like I said, it's certainly possible. Of course it's possible. They now have the cap space. It wasn't possible as of a week ago, right?
If we've learned anything in 6 seasons working with David Poile, anything is possible.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it probably wasn't possible about a week ago, because I think you're looking at $8 million for him, if not more. And the Predators did not have that. They could not have had a functioning roster if they'd signed him at that point. But now with Bonino gone, with Turris gone, with Santini gone, you do at least have a shot. So I'll be interested to see. I mean, I think I'd be the first one to be super excited. Like, Pierre LeBrun wrote that in his article for The Athletic. He said, like, pass some popcorn. I'd love to see Taylor Hall and Matt Duchene together on a line. So
popcorn.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I think it's more likely based at least on Poile's comments. And I said this at the start of the show, there isn't like rumors or as much speculation. Like, right, David Poile can't know right now in the back of his mind. Yeah, well, I just talked to Taylor on the phone and it was a great meeting. You know, like, he totally is going to come here. Like, he doesn't know. He is waiting for Friday like the rest of us are. So I think that's probably why he wasn't, you know, brought up or mentioned at all in his press conference after the NHL draft. But at that point, Poile did say, I've got 5 decent defensemen on my roster. I know I've got to at least have 7, is, you know, pretty stereotypical. So that's probably what I attack first, with a veteran defenseman, a 1-2, you know, short-term deals, veteran guys. So he did not, you know, in any way say like, oh, I've got to go get a second line left wing, you know, like for Taylor Hall. So keep that in mind as well. And then all of a sudden, you know, you shrink up, you know, your dollars as well. If you're doing 8 for Taylor Hall and you're doing 4 or 5 and, you know, Luke Cunningham as well. So I think it's possible. I'm excited to see it. And I think this is going to be an exciting free agent year overall because of the flat cap, because of these additional buyouts as we talked about. So, yeah, it's exciting. Friday, 11 a.m.
There are big names, of course. You mentioned one there. There's also a lot of restricted free agents who did not get qualifying offers who then become unrestricted free agents. So there's a lot of guys who maybe aren't at the top of everybody's list but are certainly more than serviceable NHLers who could potentially fill some roles that the Predators might be looking for, as David Poile said, and as you mentioned, 1, maybe 2 defensemen, potentially the first thing that he looks at on Friday.
Well, to quickly clarify on that, Poile again reiterating, Hamus retired, Weber gone, Holzer gone, almost certainly, and then Smith and Graham, as we've said ad nauseum throughout these shows, also likely gone. So, yeah, that's why there's more space and roster spots as well.
For sure. So things have already changed a little bit with the Luke Cunningham trade. There will be likely more changes, certainly some promotions from within, as David Poile has said many times he wants to do, but also some possibilities there on the free agent market. So Friday, 11 a.m. Central, October 9th is when it starts. Unlike the trade deadline, there is no limit to this. So it's not as if Friday's your day and there you go.
The limit
does not exist.
Limit
does not exist. Of course, you can go days, weeks, maybe months, and you can pretty much sign whoever you'd like to. So the work never ends, and it's certainly one of the busier weeks that David Poile's had in a while.
So I guess I'm saying, listen to this podcast and dream of a second line of Hall, Duchene, and Tolvanen. Then step back from that a little bit and dream of a line of maybe Mike Hoffman and Matt Duchene and Elli Tolvanen. And then maybe go one more a little bit of time and think of, okay, maybe Elli Tolvanen, Rem Pitlick, and Matt Duchene or something like that. So just be realistic, have some perspective. And, yeah, I mean, we'll see what the Hines selling point is, what the Nashville selling point is, and what the, hey, you could play with Matt Duchene selling point is. Like, that can trump a lot of things. I know you and I, as you've said, over the years, like, it really matters. Like, I know, you know, of course we're biased and we build it up on purpose, but it matters when a player says, wow, like, it's a super hard place to play. I'd love to play in Nashville and have the fans beside me. Or, you know, like, I have watched them go to the playoffs every year for 6 straight years. I'd love to be a part of that. So that matters. We'll see.
Yeah, especially since the run in 2017, players want to come to Nashville. Yeah. Nashville is no longer a tough sell. So by the next time we talk to you, we certainly expect that there will be some new names on the roster. Who that is remains to be seen, but we'll do our best to maybe speak to one of them.
All right, let's do it. Love it. And let's recap this 2020 NHL draft. 7 new Preds coming over in the last 48 hours or so. Let's do that in the fourth segment on the Preds official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The other way, Coronado now. Right side, Afonte. Fakes a shot, gets a slot, scores! Gunnar Wolfonte!
Juice is like wine, and I'm hungry like
Wow. Wow. Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For Brooks, I am Thomas. Max, our producer, with that just... that's a work of art right there. The Predators' seventh round pick. Bet you can't
One of them.
Well, I know. Bet you can't guess his nationality. He's American. Yes, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine, American. His mom said she wanted to name him Wolf, thought that wasn't good enough. So she went with Gunnar Wolf, added an E to the end. Wow.
She also... that.
Well, I'm actually having Arizona Coyotes flashbacks a little bit there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, that's Mark Citron, the broadcaster for the Chicago Steel.
Thank you.
With an unreal call.
Thank you for uploading that to YouTube, good sir.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mark.
Yes. All right, let's actually go through these picks in order. He was the penultimate pick for the National Predators.
Yes,
Gunnar Wolf was. Yeah, I think at this point, like, you're calling him Gunnar Wolf. I would hope that he's able to put that on the back of his jersey as well. Like, I mean, Fontaine.
He said,
we just won't be calling him that.
He said that his mom also encouraged him to be a rat on the ice growing up.
A lot of mixed animal messages from Mrs. Fontaine.
Yes, he does have a little bit of that in his game as well. But plenty of picks before him. The big one, Yaroslav Askarov, the goaltender. The Russian goaltender who kind of came onto everybody's radar a little bit more recently. Like, everybody knew about him. But I think he really started getting talked up recently and is a stud of a goaltender. Mm-hmm. And the Predators made it happen with the 11th overall pick. The top-ranked international goalie by NHL Central Scouting. The sixth Russian-born netminder to be selected in the first round in league history. And he's 6'4". And people are comparing him to goaltenders like Carey Price, like Andrei Vasilevsky in Tampa Bay. Vladislav Tretiak, the greatest Russian goaltender of all time's name, has been thrown out. He seems like the real deal. And if he is as good as people say he's going to be, and that's what David Poile said, the people in the know who say he is going to be one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, if that turns out, then what a pick.
Yeah. Well, read the quote from assistant GM Jeff Kelty. That's what made it even for me. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so Jeff Kelty, Predators assistant GM, and also heavily involved still in the scouting, who knows these kids better than just about anyone, said this quote, Yaroslav is an elite, elite prospect. The talent level and the athleticism stands out right away. We compare his athleticism to that of Pekka or Los Angeles Kings goalie Jonathan Quick. And he's mature beyond his years in terms of his complete level and mental makeup. Even at such a young age, he's proven himself in a men's league by playing in the KHL over in Russia. That's where he is right now. We believe he was the best player available. And if you have a franchise goaltender on your hands, which we do believe he will be, you're in a very good situation.
Yeah.
A franchise goaltender, if you can essentially get another Pekka all of a sudden, you got to do it.
Yeah. So several things to start. David Poile said shortly after the pick, he has two more years in Russia, almost period. Like, don't even worry about it. So for those who are all of a sudden speculating, wait, is this a lack of confidence in Yusei Saros? What does this mean? Well, and then also, I hate to even say this, Pekka is in the final year of his deal. The chances are almost certain he retires after this season. Again, anything is possible. But you have to all of a sudden assume the Predators are down to one NHL goaltender, Yusei Saros. We'll see what Connor Ingram's able to do. But there's still so much time before Askarov. Like, he's not coming into the crease. He's not, you know, pushing Saros out or something like that. So minimum 2 years, then probably Milwaukee, then, you know, so like 3-4 years. But when you have a chance at a generational talent or a franchise level talent, a guy that only comes around, what, every 10 years or so, you have to take a chance. And I would speculate, I don't think the Predators thought that this was going to be the guy that they were going to get, maybe even earlier in that day. And you heard Poile allude to that a bit, saying, like, you know, we're always going to take the best player available. And because of that, we thought he'd probably go before us. I think the chances are they were going to end up with a forward. And let me highly recommend this. I know we push a lot of content towards you, but this is one you definitely need to watch. It'll be posted by the time you listen to this on NashvillePredators.com. So you go inside the Predators draft room for the 3-4 minutes before the pick. You can see it on the scouting staff's face. You can see the discussions between Poile and Kelty and some others. They're like, wait a second, like, you know, what's going to happen at 9? And they're like, wait, oh, well. And you even see then Poile being like, okay, he's like, Winnipeg, you don't need a goalie. You don't need a goalie. Like, you're not going to do this. And like, I mean, they are shocked that it occurs. and thrilled, you know, that he's going to be their guy. So I think as many of us that were surprised on Tuesday night when it happened, like, that was legitimate. I think the Predators were a little bit surprised as well. And there's just no telling what can happen in the next 2, 3, or 4 years. But to have your starting point be, this guy might be kind of like Carey Price.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good starting point.
I think all you need to know is, again, the Predators' philosophy is you take the best player available, no matter the position, because even if it doesn't work out here in Nashville, you've got an asset that you can use to get something else down the road. That's why you always take the best player available. In this case, Yaroslav Askarov is the guy, and we will see what happens in a couple of years' time. But again, certainly quite a promising young man there in the crease for the Nashville Predators. And apparently he has a hedgehog as a pet. So more to come on that. We'll hopefully get him over here sooner than later and see what he's got. But again, as you said, Predators staff management, very excited to bring him on board. There were 6 more picks on day 2 for the Preds. 3 of them were named Luke, and very exciting there. We were kind of joking when Gunnar Wolf came, I think somebody said, is his middle name at least Luke? Not sure on that.
Yeah.
But Nashville's first selection of day 2, second rounder, number 42 overall, Luke Evangelista, an 18-year-old forward who plays for the London Knights of the OHL, really rocketed up last season, 61 points in 62 games. And he is second cousins with Hockey Hall of Famer Brendan Shanahan, so that's a fun fact. NHL Central Scouting compares him to Jordan Eberle. That would not be a bad comparison there. Third round Luke Prokop, a 6'4" defenseman who just happens to be a fan of the Nashville Predators, his favorite NHL team, Shea Weber, his favorite defenseman growing up. So some size there on the blue line for Nashville, and Prokop saying, I don't think I could explain in words how it feels going to my favorite team. It's something I'll remember for the rest of my life. So congrats to him. Another defenseman in round 4, Adam Vilsby, a Swede, watched carefully by Preds European scout Lucas Bergman. A little bit older, but has really come on as of late, so they're excited about him as well. Predators traded the 5th round pick to Philadelphia for a pair of 7ths. More on that in a moment. Then in the 6th round, the 3rd and final Luke of the day, a defenseman, Luke Reed, comes into the fold from Chicago Steel of the USHL. And then we do move on to that 7th, where Gunnar Wolf Fontaine comes in at number 202 overall and Chase McClain at number 209. Fontaine is entering his freshman year at Northeastern, which is David Poile's alma mater. And he said that he kind of likes to model his game after Bruins forward Brad Marchand, yeah, who was widely regarded as not only probably the best pest in the league, but one of the best players in the league.
Well, yeah, it's for sure. And I was just going to say that. So in summary, day 2 brings 3 forwards, 3 defensemen into the fold. And Kelty said later that, yes, it's always best player available. They really wanted some right shooting defensemen as well, so they were able to pick up 2 of those. And my comment to you was, because it wasn't just Gunnar Wolf. I mean, it was McClain as well, saying, like, I heard comparables of, I want to play like Tom Wilson. Mm-hmm. I want to play like Brad Marchand. And, you know, I was like, oh, do I like that? Or, you know, like, and then even, like, we were told, you know, maybe there's a Brian Kesler comparable, you know, for Luke Cunningham as mm-hmm. well. So I think that really goes to what we were told. Like, they want more grit. They want more effort, meaning the Predators management that wants that. They
more snarl.
Just more snarl. They don't want to, you know, be some pushover team. And I think a lot of criticism from the last year or so has been, like, oh, the Predators fall behind and just kind of give up, or they get pushed around. Yeah, yeah. And in no way did these guys impact the roster for the 2021 season, but you bring them all in together because then all of a sudden they do impact your roster for multiple years. So to see that was a bit of a change as well. Like I said, I don't know that the goalie was always the plan, but you, now that you've got him, like, wow, does that free up a lot of the future? And I mean, I know that it'll be exciting to see what he develops to. And then you're able to restock the cupboard a bit with a lot of picks.
Sure. And you mentioned that, and quickly, I think it's important to mention, even the goaltender in the first round, you don't ever really expect any of these players to play in the NHL the year after they're drafted.
Yeah, that's definitely
just not how it works in hockey. They need extra time to develop. Every once in a while it happens. Victor Arvidsson was a 4th rounder in 2014. He played in the NHL that next season. But it's incredibly rare that it happens. So don't expect to see any of these guys. Alexi Lafreniere goes number one overall to the New York Rangers. He will. He's the only lock. But
yeah,
those first couple picks usually have a pretty good
shot. Well, and even just remember the age. I mean, like, so Gunnar Wolf and McLean are just starting college at Northeastern and Penn State, respectively. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like they're pretty young. And even actually the two of them were a little bit older. But even still, like, there's going to be need years will need to pass before they're ready. But that being said, like, you know, I think the Predators were pleased to get the high-end talent of the goaltender. I think he will be the gem of the draft. Mm-hmm. And then you just wait and see. I mean, you could see one of those six guys on day two come into the NHL, or two or three or four, and, you know, it just remains to be seen. But, you know, as long as, at least in my humble opinion, if you exit a draft with, like, one guy that you're like, yes. So last year, Philip Tomasino was clearly the guy. Ellie Tolvanen, you know, in recent years. Mm-hmm. As long as you leave with one guy that you're feeling really, really good about, I think that's all that you can ask. So sure. I think pretty good overall.
Roman Josi was a second rounder. Matthias Ekholm, Victor Arvidsson, fourth rounders. You never know what you're going to get. And there's no guarantee that any of those guys will ever play, but they're certainly one step closer to realizing their NHL dreams. Whew. That was a lot. And we're probably going to have more next week, so stay tuned. But thanks for sticking with us.
Preds
official podcast, episode 103. Hey, thanks to Luke Cunnan for joining us this week on the POP. Good to get to know him a little bit better. And as we go along in this off season, would love to have some of the kids on from the draft as well. Maybe we can make that happen. Go back down memory lane with some Preds memories with Luke Prokop, perhaps. We'll see what the future holds. And then, as we said, probably going to have a new free agent signee next week, at least one of them. Stay tuned to find out who it is. 11 a.m. Central on Friday. Coverage on Predators.com all weekend long. And we'll be back next week.